That is terrible. Thank you, Becky. I appreciate that. So anyway, here we go. I'm going to talk about you tonight. How to really avoid ruin, avoid getting caught up in sin. And I hope the kids are listening, like Grace and Eli and maybe Wyatt. They might be a little young for this, but I thought that maybe, this was for them. I couldn't get away from it all week. It's what God has put on my heart. So we've said many times that even though the fence is on the boundary line between good and evil, innocence and corruption, that the fence is owned by evil and the powers thereof. It is there to separate, protect, to warn, to be an obstruction, a visual warning. I often draw a picture of it in my mind. It's about 10 or 12 feet high with strong stockade-type wooden posts and tall boards nailed side by side vertically between posts, which are set deeply into the soil. And each post actually post attached strongly horizontal boards bolted with steel deep gripping lag bolts, and then surrounded by chain link fence of the strongest steel, strong enough that it will take anyone with determination to have a problem penetrating or to traverse. It's not so sound that with a little observance of the sounds and sights and the smells and the sights, can it be recognized? It has the sounds of mirth and celebration and music. You can just barely see dancing and celebrating, the smell of liquor and tobacco. Smoke is in the air, flashing brilliant lights and beams can be seen beaming between the fence slats. In the seams, in the vertical slats, anyone with any true human emotion and desires traveling close by would have their interest piqued and be curious of the sounds coming from behind this boundary. Why would this fence be excluding anyone from partaking in this place of pleasure and excitement? What is so great or terrible about this place that we are barred, barricaded out? What am I missing out on that's in there? Why can't I just see inside and get a closer picture? How hard would it be to get over there? Why am I excluded? Why can't I just go in and look around? Don't I have control over my own emotions? Why can't I just do what I want? I'll try to answer a few of these questions today as I preach this message. The truth is that there usually is no real physical fence, and our decision is completely up to us to make, but God has given us all we need to avoid what's behind that fence. Though it from the outside feels desirable, tantalizing, and pleasant to partake of, and the center of it all is death. Death to the lost who can't refuse to escape its grip. Death to the brethren who get caught in its snares and develop spiritual calluses on their conscience, whose hearts are seared and get swallowed up in despair and regret. Everyone within the sound of my voice, to the best of my knowledge, is saved or have a testimony of salvation. Even everybody out there on the streaming, There are some that are listening or sitting right here that may need some warning and rebuke for future challenges that may arise over this journey to the grave and heaven or hell. I'm going to try to help some folks with this message today because it seems to be what the Lord would have me preach. I'm going to start in Proverbs 9:6. This is consequences. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and go in the way of understanding. Everything behind that fence seems as though it's wonderful and great, but nobody ever sees in the beginning what is the end of the matter. The Bible says a person that doesn't hear the end, speaks or does before the end of a matter is a fool. And nobody ever takes the time to figure out what the consequences, There's a lot of people, they just don't take the time to think of the consequences of their actions and of the things they do. It's bad enough God gives a conscience that most people have in the beginning, whether they're saved or unsaved, to understand that something's right or wrong. Most people, if you got to think to yourself this is right or wrong, usually it's wrong. And usually when people are there's crowds of people begging you to come do something, it's not all the time not wholesome, but most of the time a crowd of people who's doing the wrong things, their conscience is telling them, maybe, I don't know, back in the word subliminally, that what they're doing is wrong. So it makes them feel more comfortable to drag as many people with them as they can. It's an evil thing. It's an evil thing that it's like, I guess, Satan is that kind of the angel. He does that. He illuminates everything to make it seem as if it's okay, and he wants to lure you to it to ruin you. And people, I think, in the back of their conscience that God gives them. And I don't know if this is true or not. I know it's probably true for me because I can remember back when I was living so terribly my life before I heard the gospel and before I learned of a God who loved me. I knew that, when I was doing things, and I don't want to be specified because I don't want to glorify him, with some bad things that me and my friends used to love to do. And I knew that, God always put something in me that knew that what I was doing was wrong. And I really, most of the time, didn't want to do them. I just did it because I knew that's what everybody else was doing and I'd seem cool. And, but in my mind, I just, if I could ask people, I was like, oh, come on, Benny, let's go. Benny's my brother. Benny, come on, let's go do such and such. And Benny, maybe sometimes would, maybe that's not a smart thing to do. He's a pretty tough guy, but he's got a lot of common sense, and he's not afraid of much, but he used to, say stuff, Eddie, maybe that's not right, and I wouldn't listen to him, and I'd drag him into it. We'd both get in trouble for it, and I just knew that when we were doing it, it was wrong, but yet, if I could get more and more people involved in it, it made me feel better about myself. That's evil. That's about as evil as it comes, and I don't care what it was. I just lost my train of thought. The devil's like that too. And people that, like, if you notice that people that, they'll come in and they'll get into church, they'll hear the gospel, and they'll seemingly get saved, and they'll seemingly accept Jesus Christ, and they'll start going out, excited. And that's like an earmark. I like to see when people get saved, that's the first thing I watch, see if they're saved. Because like me, if they're like me, when I first got saved, I said, in my mind, I said, oh my gosh, everyone I know and love is going to hell. So then I went out and I immediately started trying to convert my friends and my family to the Lord. And I got beat up in the beginnings. I didn't know much Bible and I didn't know where to find the answers that people gave me. But I made it a point to do my best and learn to answer questions that always came. They always came. You know, what about those people over in India? What about such and such? You know, what about them? You know, we're not talking about them. We're talking about you. You know, we're talking, you know, everybody wants to compare themselves with other people. Comparing themselves with other people. And, you know, if they could just find somebody they're not worse than, then they're okay. I mean, they set the bar really, really, really high. You know? So, let's go to Proverbs 22:3. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple pass on and are punished. I mean, God has given everybody, even unsaved people, common sense to ask the question, should I or should I not be doing it? Like I said, if you got to ask that question, the chances are what it is wrong. And the way you avoid wrong is you don't try to see as much as you can of it, what angles you can get in and get close to it, and try to dip and dodge away from it. It's an evil stronger than you are. The devil can give you more persuasion on a matter or on the evil than you can handle, especially as a kid. You got so many interests that you know that get piqued as young as you're not, you don't. You haven't had the experience that adults do. And I'm not just speaking to kids. Adults. I mean, it seems to be so many adults that they think they can dabble in a little bit too. The next thing you know, as you dabble and touch, you know, I tried for the longest time to go back. After I got saved, I knew I was saved. I said to myself, "I'm gonna take this to my family," and then my family started rejecting it. And then my family started laughing at me, making fun of me. And it hurt. You know, it hurt really bad. But I'd say to myself, I love my family. I still want to go do the stuff I did with them. The truth is, as you get around that stuff and you're with them, and you have a testimony you have to uphold. You know, even though you love your family, and you can't testify to them if you're not around them. You can't witness to them if you're not around them, you know. But then again, if you're sitting at the table where the whole group has got liquor and beer on the table, everybody's taking pictures and putting them on Facebook. What about those folks that you're going to witness to down the road that saw the Facebook post when you're sitting there? You may not have ever touched a beer. You may not even believe in soda. You'd just be drinking water. Wouldn't drink a root beer because it has a beer, looks like a beer bottle. But then people see you, and they'd be like, "I know what you do, man. You're full of garbage." And the devil—that's a lie the devil tells, you know—to get you to keep going around that place and trying to just get around any side you can. And no, really, it is you know, I'll tell you what it was for me is I desired to be around it. It was something I used to love to do. It was the only thing I knew. That was most of my life. Everybody I knew do them as their pastime. You get off work, you go buy 6-pack, 12-pack, whatever it is, try to get it done before you get in the door, and then maybe stop before you get there so you can have some at the house. That's just it was a way of life. And everything that we did surrounded that, you know, and it felt so awkward to be around people that I loved and not be partaking in that stuff. And the lie of the devil is that you can go hang out where that thing is and and be around what it is and be strong and not do it. And I'm not saying people don't do it, you know. I'm saying if you got a problem with alcohol, you don't go hang out with a bunch of drunks. You got a problem with drugs, you don't go out and hang out with a bunch of druggies. And I work with these kids that work all the time. You know, kids have no work ethic anymore. They don't care about nothing. They're drug addicts and they're all strung out. And none of them ever know anything about God. And most of them don't have any father at home, and they have a split home. And they can't get it through their head. I can see them struggling, and they want to quit. They want to be done with it. Above all, I'm, you know, preaching to them and telling them about the Lord and telling them what the Lord can do for them. And it's bad enough that, you know, I can't even see it this day and age from opposed to 25 years ago when I got saved. They used to be able to get an ear when you started talking about the Lord. People were courteous to listen a little bit, you know, just to humor you. But these kids nowadays, the majority of them, and a lot of them I talk to, they'll tell you, I was in church all my life. My parents, born again, they could tell you all about it. Don't want nothing to do with it. You can't even speak to them about it because they just hate them. I mean, this world has taught them to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is. I mean, the television, you know, the parents let their kids sit down and sit in front of the television. And I mean, we were guilty of it too. Just letting the television raise our kids and putting them in front of Disney movies. And, you know, the Bible says that witchcraft is evil. It says it's evil. But yet we'll sit down there and let our kids sit in front of that stuff. You look at every Disney princess movie is about some evil being in the movie, some enchanted the beast, or, you know, was in The Little Mermaid, the octopus woman, Ursula, you know, the sea witch, you know, just dabbling a little bit of magic, just dabbling a little bit, and that stuff gets on you, and you can't get it away, and it brings this spirit of oppression to these kids. If you look at these kids, man, they're putting holes in their cells, they can't find enough skin on their body to put tattoos in. Because they, you know, put tattoos on their body because they wanted to be unique. Now what's the excuse? Everybody's got tattoos. Why don't you keep your skin clear? If that's the case, be unique. Keep it clear. We've got Christian kids that are destroying their temple with god awful stuff they're putting on their skin. Skulls and tribal evil Gaelic stuff that is known to be used for witchcraft and for, you know, evil ceremonies. And they think this is all right. Here's my point, you know, point to this message is how to avoid that stuff. Don't entertain it. The Bible says, have no communication with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, them kids that are really caught up, or them people that are really caught up in stuff like that, they can seem cool. They can seem so nonchalant. They can seem so, they have ice in their veins that nothing phases them. But I can guarantee you that when them people are alone, them kids or adults, whatever they are, when they're alone and they go home and they don't have God, they're empty, and they have more fear in you than you can than you could ever know. They're hardened so well that they can act like they're not. And I know this because it was me for a while. You know, I mean, just because you can throw fists and knock people's teeth out and, you know, hurt people with your hands, doesn't mean you're tough. A tough guy, a tough person, can stare into the face of what is exactly contrary to everything and go the opposite way. And the Lord did that to me. The Lord took a pretty hard guy, and he said, I want you to preach a gospel of peace. And here I stand before you. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I feel more fulfilled now, and I have more joy about my life than I ever did before. And I'm able to go fearlessly to my brothers and sisters and people that knew me and tell them about the Lord. Whether they laugh at me or mock me or whatever, it's, hey, you know what? They don't have any idea what I'm talking about unless they try and experience it for themselves. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, after all that back there and this now, that even though it is real, if it wasn't real, I wouldn't want to change it. If it wasn't real, the fulfillment that I get out of this is so much better than the way I lived. And if you can keep yourself from that stuff too, and if you can put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll just try to glorify Him with your life, He'll reward you with peace and with your grace to get through whatever it is. You don't have to change yourself to be something you're not so that people will like you. You just keep on living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You just keep on obeying your parents. I know when you're young that all you want to do is do what you want to do, and you're learning all this, new stuff, and you think that you can take care of yourself, and you think that you're ready to go. But believe me, your parents have been through it, and they know, they just have experience, and they know how to try and keep, they know how to keep you from hurting evil stuff. And my plea to whoever's listening out there, my plea is that you just listen to them. They love you, and they want what's best for you. And God loves you, and He wants best for you. He gave them to you to protect you. And your parents have you getting you up and drag you to church first thing in the morning, Sunday morning, and they're here on Wednesday to just give you as much of the Lord Jesus Christ as they can. You're most of the time in a world, even if you go to a good Christian school, you're around kids that not necessarily as well taught and as well versed in biblical principles as your parents are, and they just want what's best for you. And grown-ups, if you're taking your kids, and I'm not accusing nobody of anything. I know I used to do it. Like I said, I used to try to be all around all that stuff. I loved it. I can tell you, when I was there, I never could get any comfort out of it. I never was happy. I knew I didn't belong, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to be bringing my kids there. But to save my face with my family, and so what I called winning their soul for God, I was subjecting my kids to stuff that they never should see or hear, letting them hear stuff that no kid should ever hear, and stealing their innocence. We live in a world that cannot stand innocence. They cannot stand innocence. They just want your kids to know and experience the filthy, the most filth they can. I don't understand it. Why would you have to teach this gender stuff that they're teaching and trying to teach in schools? What kind of sick, twisted people? I mean, I understand that people are capable of anything, but I'll tell you what it is. I know what it is. Is they have to recruit. They can't reproduce. They have to recruit. And the younger they start on them, like I said, the more a lie is told, the more believable it becomes. I mean, the People just they keep on pressing an issue, and those that care about the issue, they'll raise the voice about it, and they'll sound the alarm, and they'll tell the lie, and then people that don't believe it, they'll just not believe it, and it's get to a point where they've heard it so much, and they fought it so long that they give up and they stop saying something. They stand against it, but they stop saying stuff about it. Then the next group comes along, they tell the same lie, and they have no fight in them. They just let it pass. And the next thing you know, it's spread like wildfire everywhere because good people like us, we allow it to happen. You know, there's good stuff about Disney, and there's good stuff about this, and there's good stuff about that. Well, anything tainted is not pure. I don't care how much good is in something. If it's tainted with filth and evil, you don't want to deal with that stuff because the evil is going to bring you down. You're not going to get better with the good stuff in it. It's the law of gravity. You stand above it as a godly person, the lower is going to drag you down. And I just I've watched some kids near and dear to me, you know, who were raised in church, whose parents, you know, who were at first strong, and they felt uncomfortable, you know, showing their kids the right way because it's a fight, you know, it's a fight with your kids to make them wear the skirt that's long enough that's not showing off their thighs or whatever, and it's a fight that they can't go stand to. Everybody else's kids are going and standing at each other's houses. And it's hard as a parent to deny that from your kids. But deny it. Keep them away from evil. Keep them away from evil. Keep them away from evil people. Keep them away from good people who think that evil's okay. You know, alcohol, you know, although everybody... It seems to be one of the, you know, social drugs, and that most of the world thinks it's okay to mess with. You get around them people in them parties, and they utter stuff that your kids should never hear, stuff that you don't normally hear. They just people say stuff that they wouldn't normally say on that stuff. You think you can go around a bunch of, you know, pretty moral people. And when the booze gets flowing, the evil gets flowing. And the Bible says that, that when you drink, you behold evil. Like it says, drinking alcohol will make you, behold strange women. You know, I know plenty of guys who love their wives and, you know, used to go hang out at bars and, you know, they always end up, you know, some kind of trouble with their wife, not just for drinking, but because they lowered their inhibitions and did stuff, you know, got caught with other women because it lowered their inhibitions, and what they would normally stop and think about it, they didn't. So you can't, like, you just can't dabble in evil. You can't touch it. You know, you can't, you don't want to just even take any chance at, you know, if you see it's evil, just avoid it. Let's go to Proverbs 27:12. I can get there one of these days. Says a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on or are punished. Look, the truth is, when you do wrong, there's punishment to come. Somebody's going to get hurt. You know, it may not be you now, it may not come soon. The Bible says because punishment is not executed speedily. That is in a man's heart to sin, or something like that. I'm kind of ad-libbing here. You know, the best thing for you to do is when, you know, you feel yourself thinking about, or you see something that's wrong you shouldn't be doing, just run the other way, basically. Just run the other way. You know, it's just so much better in the end if you can keep yourself from it. Because even if you think it's a secret thing, you'll get caught. I mean, you'll get caught. Like I can remember, you know, plenty of times sitting around the lunch table with guys who know I profess what I profess. You know, I profess I'm a Christian. I've witnessed to them. I've tried to win them to the Lord. I've, tried to live my best around them. And the conversation will come up that such and such is going on. And, you know, the devil has a way of getting you involved in that conversation. So at some point, then people who think, you know, who you've tried to show that you're, you know, trying to live a godly life, that whatever will come out. And they don't even realize that they're doing that. But the devil makes it so you either have to lie or tell the truth. There's so many he gets you. There's so many ways that the devil will out you and ruin your testimony. He don't really care about you. You're saved and going to heaven. Only thing he cares is that you have a testimony that glorifies God, and all he wants is to steal God's glory. And if he can take your ability to glorify God, he's done his job. He's happy with it. He wants to be glorified himself, and he won't be. He'll be put down. He knows he's fighting a losing battle. He doesn't think he's going to win. He knows he's not going to win. He's just going to take whatever he can until God stops it. And that's anything in his way. That's any young, innocent kid, any person that has the potential to glorify God, he's going to do everything he can to stop it. So basically, my message is today is when you foreseeth evil coming, just avoid it. Just listen to what your mom and dad said. And sometimes they don't even give an answer for. Sometimes they don't even give an answer for no. Sometimes they don't need to give an answer. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And it's the first commandment with promise. So that you may live long upon the earth. That's what it says, right? If you want to live long upon the earth and you want to glorify God, just do your best. The Bible says don't look on the wine when it moves aright. Don't look at it. I mean, that's the first sin in the Bible. The first one in the Bible was caused by Eve. She said it was where is it? It is Genesis 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and brought down the whole world, just because it was beautiful to her eyes. If you see it, it looks wrong, it feels wrong, it doesn't feel right, it's usually wrong. Walk around it. Turn your back on it. Run the other way. Because I guarantee you, you're not going to fight it. It's going to get you. Stay away from it. And that's my message. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Father God. I don't, you know, Lord, I don't.